very much. Enjoyed that. I didn't clap at all. I just stood over there and say, I was good, wasn't I? I was, thank you. I was, because, you know, you get motivated, you want to participate. But I noticed last week when Diane and I were worshiping with you all, you know, that you all are, I've done a terrible job. You guys were all clapping. It was like Henry David Thoreau was let loose out here. Everybody just clapping to their own beat. And I'm just like, well, we need to get somebody organized here to get everybody to clap together. And I go, well, you're the minister. Well, then, never mind. That ain't ever going to happen. That ain't never going to happen. But I have to say thank you again for a great vacation. I also want to thank you. We had a great time worshiping last week. It's not often that we get to worship together as parishioners, to just sit in the pew and to be able to devote ourselves wholly over to God while we're sitting next to each other. You know, and that was just a great gift to be able to do that. And I want to thank you and thank the great leadership that was in place. We are very blessed in this congregation. And I have to tell you, we absolutely love you all. We love this church. It's a powerful, powerful moment for us to be able to be and to share in ministry with you. We thank you very much for all of that. And not everybody's blessed like that, unfortunately. Not everybody has a great church. Not everybody has a congregation filled with such loving and graceful people. I mean, it seems strange, but it's true. Even in the Bible, did you hear that? Did you hear what happened? Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. That's what Jesus said. To be in synagogue on the Sabbath is to be the heart of Judaism. Jesus is all, remember I was telling you about Candy and the three S's? Jesus was all about the three S's. He was about Scripture. He was about the Sabbath. He was about the synagogue. And He showed up. And when you study the Scriptures, you're going to discover that on the Sabbath, in the synagogue, problems arose. Problems arose. You would think when God showed up at church that that would be a good thing. But if you study the Scripture, when Jesus shows up at the synagogue, it doesn't always work out so well. Do you remember what happened the first time He preached? They wanted to throw Him off a cliff. I mean, I've had some bad sermons, but no one's done that. You would think, and yet people are having a hard time with this. They just seem to be difficult. And here we hear Jesus is having problems again. He's in trouble again because He's breaking the rules. Now look, He's not just like breaking the minor rule, like don't park there, that's where Don parks. No, He's breaking the Ten Commandments. He's breaking one of the Ten Commandments. This isn't a minor violation, all right? This is a major problem. You are violating the Sabbath. If you know the Ten Commandments, then you know, all right? You are to keep the Sabbath and keep it holy. That means keep it separate unto God. And when Jesus does this healing, the leader of the synagogue is noticing, hey, you're breaking, some of you remember when you grew up, some of you, not everybody grew up in West Palm Beach. Some of you grew up in other places. You can remember when there were blue laws. Can you remember blue laws? Blue laws. Now, because we're Christians, we would do the Sabbath laws on Sunday instead of Saturday. All right, the Sabbath is actually Saturday, but in Christianity, we've made it Sunday. And blue laws were laws that were put in place, and you couldn't do things on Sunday. I grew up, all right, I couldn't buy whiskey on Sundays. 5 years old, I try to walk into it, but it's not going to work. You couldn't buy alcohol on Sundays. You couldn't buy tobacco on Sunday. Stores were closed. They were shut down. You couldn't buy horses. I was in Kentucky. You can't buy horses. You couldn't buy horses on Sundays. Why? Because horses lead to gambling, because they have horse races and all these other... To this day, there are 14 states in America that require car dealerships to be closed on Sundays. 14 states. These are blue laws. You couldn't do these things on Sunday. And the leader of the synagogue had gotten an A++++ on blue laws. He knew what the rules were. He not only knew the Ten Commandments, he knew the blue laws, and he sees Jesus violating the blue law, the Sabbath law. And he's like Goober from Andy Griffith's show calling it out. Citizens arrest! Citizens arrest! Citizens arrest! He's holding Jesus accountable. You are breaking the Sabbath law. And Jesus is like, I could have been watching Meet the Press. Sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. Sometimes we miss the larger picture. We get sometimes so tied up and so wrapped up. And so Jesus has to point out to the guy. He says, look, what is your problem? Even according to your own law, if a donkey or an animal is tethered up and it needs to be watered, you let it go so it can go get water. This poor woman has been bent over for 18 years. Every day, 18 years. Why wouldn't you let her be free? And he's like, no. I'm not against the healing. I'm against the timing. You see, in the way the law read, is you could do healing the other 6 days. You know, if it's a chronic condition, then you can do that anytime. But you don't do it on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to do it then. You ever try to hold God accountable for His timing? Come on, we're in church, be honest. There have been plenty of times we have held God accountable, have we not? Have we not ever prayed out to God, hey, that's not right? You've done it. I've done it. God always, what does God do? He takes out his notepad and he writes down exactly what you said, right? He says, oh, thank you for straightening that out for me. I appreciate that. I was getting ready to make a big mistake. Well, that's what he says with me. I don't know what he says with you. I'm going to fry. This guy tries to hold Jesus accountable. And Jesus, of course, is having nothing to do with it. We're missing the larger picture. You see, Jesus is coming not just to straighten this poor woman with a bent over. This is not just a healing story in the Bible. This is about Jesus straightening us all out. He's straightening out the leader of the synagogue who's gotten so bent up, so twisted, so tight, that he can't see or rejoice in the presence of God. That happens sometimes. But here in this church, we find this woman. And this woman, if you read the account, this woman has never met Jesus. This woman never even talks to Jesus. This woman never sought Jesus out. This woman never went up and said, hey, Jesus, if you would heal me, that would be great. I would really like to be healed. No. She doesn't even know that Jesus is there. She doesn't know who Jesus is. She never professes any type of faith in Jesus. Jesus just happens to see her and says, you are made well, and lays hands on her, and whoop! First time in 18 years she's able to stand tall. First time she's able to stand up straight. And what does she do? The very first thing she does, she praises God, rejoices with God. And what happens? The whole congregation, everybody rejoice. Look at this great thing. She didn't ask for it. Didn't meet Jesus. Didn't come to church just to see Jesus. No, none of that. It just happened. And she rejoices. Jesus has healed her. And others are able to rejoice in her good fortune. Able to rejoice. Everybody's excited. Everybody's happy except Mr. Pruneface. Mr. Sour Dower. Mr. Party Pooper, coming in with all of his rules and his regulations and how important it is. Why? Because you get so tight sometimes. If people aren't following the rules, chaos, confusion. You got willy-nilly things going all over the place. How can you properly have order if no one's following the rules? And Jesus says, you're missing the point. The whole purpose of the Sabbath law wasn't about being restrictive. It wasn't about keeping you from doing things. It was about giving you a life. The whole point of the Sabbath law was to keep people from working. Otherwise, they'd be working 24/7, 7 days a week. They'd be working all the time, and that's not what God ever intended. God always intended there to be a day when you're off, when you simply rejoice and focus on God's liberating love. That's why the law is there. So that we don't get so bound up in trying to make a living that we forget to have a life. That's what God wants from us. That's what God wants for us. God did not create us so that we could work through our lunch hours. God did not create us so that we could be working all the time. God did not create us so we can be a bunch of rule followers. God created us so that we could live in grace and rejoice in God's presence and be able to share that love and grace and the freedom that comes with that. So many times we get so caught up in other things that we twist it and we turn it and make it so tight. We think we're doing the right thing and we're not. We put ourselves in knots so focused on God's rules that we miss God's presence right there with us, not able to rejoice in His grace. We know God's rules, but we don't know God. I think I shared with you all before the story of Illinois State Assembly, Church Assembly. Okay? And it's in the Bible. You're supposed to be baptized. If you're going to be, salvation, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, be baptized. Go out into all the world, baptizing all the world. It's all in the Bible. And back in the day, man, people just fired up back in the 1800s and that. Oh, you have to be baptized. You have to be baptized. If you're going to go to heaven, you have to be baptized. And they put it in the rules. They put it in the rules. You have to be baptized. But babies would die and they weren't baptized. Well, it's in the rules. You have to be baptized. Well, people were very uncomfortable with that rule. They were very, very uncomfortable with that rule. And they began to think about it. They began to pray about it. And they said, we don't believe in that. We don't think that unbaptized babies go to hell. We don't believe that. We need to get that rule off of our books. That's wrong. And it's embarrassing. And they had a whole state assembly about it. And they go through the whole resolution process. Have you ever been in a general assembly? Let me tell you something. They've got rules about everything. All right? And so there were rules, and you had to get to and everybody going through it. And they say, okay, yes, yes, we're going to take that rule out of the books. Everybody's in agreement. No one's at the opposing microphone. Everybody agrees that we need to get that rule off the book. And this one man, bless his heart, goes up to the microphone to say, and I move we make it retroactive. As if God is waiting all this time what to do with us. Seriously? Seriously? You're taking yourself a little too seriously. We get so tied up sometimes, so wrapped up, thinking that we're trying to do a right thing, and we end up in a wrong place. Jesus isn't just healing this woman, and he isn't just healing the leader of the synagogue. He's leading each and every one of us. Because have you ever noticed how easy it is to see other people when they're bent out of shape? And how difficult it is to see when we are? We get twisted and turned and constrained. And Jesus comes to straighten us out. Because sometimes we miss it. Jesus comes to straighten us out so that we can stand up and stand tall, not just for ourselves, but for other people too. So that we can stand up for justice. So we can stand up for others. This Wednesday, August 28th, some of you remember this, coming up on the 56th anniversary, 1963 in Washington, D.C., a prophet's voice arose to allow us to be able... Why? Because we had become complacent with the status quo. We had allowed things to exist that God never intended. God gave us this great country. God gave us a great planet. God gave us a great church. And we had just become complacent about it all. And a voice arose and said, no. No, that's not the way God's gift is. God's gift is about freedom. Remember that speech. Remember not to judge our children by the color of their skin, but by their character. Remember all of that. So that everybody can rejoice in the freedom that God intends all of creation to have. Every single child. God gave us a wonderful planet. Look at what's happening to it. We get all twisted and turned and worried about prophets that we are destroying the very planet we live on. God gave us a great country, and what's happening? We're becoming tighter and tighter and more fearful and more fearful. Oh, they're different. Oh, they're different. Oh, they're different. Well, we need to do something about them. Oh my gosh, what would happen? We find ourselves building walls instead of building bridges. And we totally, totally forget, not about the Statue of Liberty. We forget about what this table and this cross represent. Bring me your outcast. Bring me those who are crippled with heavy burdens of sin. Bring me those of you, of us, who are crippled with our judgment and our fear. And I will set you free. You see, that's what TGIF really means. It has nothing to do with Friday. It has to do with freedom. Thank God I'm free. That's what Martin Luther King Jr. did. Ignited an entire nation to understand the gift of God's freedom. Thank God we're free at last. Each and every one of us. Free to live the life that God intends for us to have. The beauty of creation. To be able to be embracing of all people. To understand that when God created us, He wanted diversity. He wanted differences. He wanted political differences, social differences, different skins, different colors, different everything. Only in that can the wholeness and completeness of God's picture be seen. Jesus came to straighten us all out. Because we get bent up and we get twisted. And like this woman, when we allow the truth of God's gospel to come clean to us, we stand up straight. We stand up tall. We stand up for others. And are able to rejoice and dance and sing. TGIF. Thank God I'm free. I'm free. And you're free too. God bless you all. Amen.